Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, it's Friday, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Oh, yeah. You know, you and D'Angelo Williams could sit down and have yourself a beverage. Because you'll both be doing the same thing, not playing.
Watching the game.
That's right.
Watching the game. He's in. No, wait, he's not. He's in. No, wait, he's not.
What are you talking about? I mean, what did I say from day one this week? What did I say?
I mean, did I ever sit there and argue with you? I said, I'm waiting for the report on Friday.
What did I say all week? I didn't wait for reports. Common sense tells you, not going.
I'm waiting for the report on Friday. I got the report on Friday. He's gone.
You're such a fan.
Oh, I'm such a fan. Normally you tell me, don't panic. Just wait. Let them hash it out. They don't need to talk about it right away.
No,
they don't need to release it right away.
Not this time. You could tell he wasn't going to be able to play. You could tell. Next week he can play.
Well, let's get there then so he can. I'm having a bad flashback, though. That's what's scaring me.
And Andy Dalton is out as well. So.
I'm not worried about that.
So A.J. McCarron. Well, I mean. Well, that works in your favor.
Right. Watch AJ will have a career day.
He could. That's why, you know, I've talked about him game managing this thing. And he's a game manager. In the end, aren't you always a game manager?
To a point. Until you have to win the game. Until you have to make a play, which, by the way, everybody's talking
you're still managing the game at that point too. I mean, you're trying to manage. You know, you're just not taking willy nilly shots. We're brought to you by. I'm very big on the sponsor, by the way. I know you just want to get into the game, but I'm very big on Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, since they have been an important part of this show now for years, with us every Friday, and. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, the soft drinks, snacks, water. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is second to none. I'm also in the Sunbury Motors studio, speaking of longtime sponsors that we cherish. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Now we get back to Nervous Nelly. Go ahead.
Well, everybody's talking about Ben not having great games the last couple of games, and he hasn't. There were some passes that looked forced.
And let's take a break. We'll be back with that.
There are passes that look forced. You know what it looked like to me? As I was texting a friend on Sunday, I said, Ben is trying to win this game with one pass. That's what it looked like. He was trying to find a 14-point touchdown. There were a couple of passes that, over the last couple of weeks that have just looked really forced. And get back to what you were doing before. I mean, let's face it. The Steelers are going to need you on Saturday night to play well because the running game won't be there. Toussaint is not a running back. He's a blocker.
Not even that.
Well, you know, he does a decent job blocking.
Kevin. He's a third-team running back.
Yes.
At best.
Yes.
At best. At best. Okay. Your running game became incredibly pedestrian.
Actually, I think you're being kind by calling it pedestrian. Listen,
I use the word incredibly.
Now, this is interesting because the depth chart actually has Todman as the number two and Toussaint as the three.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Now, that leads me to believe that Todman, who has some experience, played in Jacksonville, might actually get more carries than Toussaint, who's going to be the blocking back. I actually like that idea better.
Sure. It's irrelevant either way.
No, I think it's going to be relevant. I think this, listen, and Kevin, my question, all right, if you're the defensive coordinator of Cincinnati.
Your running game is gone.
It is. Okay?
It's gone, okay? It doesn't matter. You could put a goat out there. You're done.
Do you rush, if you're Cincinnati, do you rush for and put everybody in coverage and say, beat us throwing the football?
No, you got to put pressure on Roethlisberger, too, you know? You got to mix things up. Hey, again, you're lobbying for extra hours of practice and getting my team thinking too much. And I'm just like, hey, look, just come on, just play your game.
Yeah, but do you want to pressure Roethlisberger?
He plays well when you
pressure him. You've got to make sure that you contain him when you pressure him and that when you do make contact, he goes down.
He makes bad decisions under pressure like every other quarterback.
I don't know if the stats show that or not.
No, I don't need the stat sheet. I have visuals. Okay, how about this? I have visuals. You got to mix it up. You got to change things up all the time. You have to just do your game plan. Right? You just have to do your game plan. You don't sit there and say, "Oh, there's no D'Angelo Williams." Fine. You don't just sit there and rush four guys. Hey, you don't want to hand things to them. I think it changed a little bit as to how you play maybe certain personnel packages. Maybe you play them a little more dime defense, but you can blitz out of the dime.
Ben, in 2014, I'd like to find the 15 numbers. Ben, in 2014.
And so would I, considering it's current.
I know. But this is what I found quickly.
And remember, 14 is Le'Veon Bell. And there's a lot of things. Come on.
Ben, under pressure, was 28 points better than any other quarterback.
Oh, God.
At ratings.
That was a year ago.
I understand that.
Not injured. Not, I mean, what did he do against Baltimore and against Cleveland? Look to me, he was pressured, and it looked like he made some bad choices.
I need a stats subscription.
Well, fine. You can write it off in your taxes.
I'm trying to find the completion percentage when Ben's under pressure. Because you had that very interesting stat of being under pressure and where, like,
Lambert.
Brady.
Oh, Brady, 35.1%.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to find something similar to that. Like the one stat on Pro Football Focus shows best and worst under pressure. Ben is 18.1, best in the NFL. Eli Manning, a minus 12 when pressured.
That's great. Guess what? I blitz them because you got to give them different looks. Okay? Sometimes I play four. Sometimes I'd rush five or six. You got to do different things to the offensive line. You don't have a check down guy that's worth anything right now. Your check down guy is probably Heath Miller.
I would say so, yeah.
Heath. Second and nine.
More than that. You got more than
how come they don't? How come they don't chant Heath when he holds? All right, well,
because he never does.
I hate to tell you how many holding penalties he was called for this year.
I'll look that.
He was called
up.
For. I think he was called for three or four holding penalties this year.
Oh, that's not bad. He's a tight end. Oh, he blocks a lot.
Holding penalty. That's a lot of holding penalties for a tight end. Okay, who goes out to catch passes. Back with more in a moment. I mean, do you watch the games at all?
Do Do you ever agree with anything I say, ever?
Well, you said take a break here. I agree with that.
Oh, okay.
You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Kevin, seeing everything through black and gold glasses.
Gronkowski does not have a holding penalty in 2015, but he does have a false start and six offensive pass interference penalties in 2015.
He pushes off.
Six times he got caught.
No, I mean, but he's the ultimate matchup nightmare. Just on pure height, I mean, he's quick, strong, but the height he brings to the position, he's going to tower over most safeties. He can outrun a linebacker. He can't, you know, a safety can run with him, but the height part, Brady can put the ball up high. Gronkowski's going to get it and doesn't have to exert himself to go up and get the football. He also does a great job of getting inside position. Miller is a superior blocker. Miller's probably a better route runner. I think Miller is just a...
You think so?
Marvelous tight end. I think that every team in the league would love to have him, including the Patriots. Heath Miller is the kind of guy where I would talk about him in Hall of Fame terms, but he'll never have a shot at it. He'll never make it.
Well, I just hope the young man that is playing kind of behind him that you know quite well is learning an awful lot, because I think he could be another talented Heath Miller.
I think he's gotten a lot better, and in fact, I think the Steelers end up beating Baltimore if Ben Roethlisberger can pick out the 6'7 frame wide open in Jesse James at the 35-yard line. You saw how wide open he was, didn't you?
I tried not to look.
Whew. It's brutal. I mean, that one's on Ben. I mean, how he missed him, I'll never know. Because, you know, obviously Jesse James is not of the same height realm of Antonio Brown. You're talking like he sticks out.
Yeah, he's hard
Ben,
to miss.
And Ben just flat out missed him.
You know, those hands, just, though. I remember the first time I saw him was the blue-white game, probably about 3 years ago. And those hands, I mean, enormous.
Yeah, no. He's going to be a good player for them. They've done well at tight end. Matt Spaeth, I think, is very good in the role that he has. Very good in the role he has. It's going to be interesting to see what Cincinnati does with McCarron. Do they become a little more adventurous with him? Instead of having him really kind of manage it, because everything he did the first time against Pittsburgh, I'd throw out. He comes into the game in the middle of the game. It's kind of thrown at him, game speed, so forth. Since the Pittsburgh game, he has not thrown an interception. I shouldn't say doesn't have a turnover, because he does. He has not thrown an interception since the Pittsburgh game. The one turnover he has is that fumble in overtime against Denver, where, for whatever reason, he just didn't see the snap. And the snap wasn't that bad. And he just flat out missed it, and I think DeMarcus Ware recovered it. And then Denver kicked the field goal and won it overtime. It was bizarre, but that's really been it. Do they now feel like he's comfortable enough in a second time through where they let him be more aggressive? And he's got Tyler Eifert back. That's huge. That's one of the big differences in this game. The Steelers lost a guy. The Bengals gained a guy. And they gained a really good guy. Steelers lost a really good guy. The Bengals gained a really good guy in Eifert. I mean, he's back, and that makes a big difference. Eifert's another guy that's put himself in that category of among the better tight ends in the league. And then how aggressive does Butler get attacking A.J. McCarron with blitzes? McCarron is not going to be the most mobile guy out there. He's not a statue. He has some pocket presence. I think he moves really well in that three-yard circle, that 8 to 9 foot circle in the pocket. I think McCarron usually moves around pretty well in there. But escapability is not going to be a big part of his game. Well, so, I mean, we talked about, you know, about the Bengals, you know, hey, don't change up what you're doing just because, you know, that suddenly out of nowhere they don't have much of a running game. I mean, I wouldn't change up too much on the blitz packages and things like that. On the flip side, you got McCarron there. Well, remember, the Steelers have prepared everything for Dalton. You know, now they've had a full chance to prepare for McCarron, too.
Well, you know, McCarron has had success with whatever he's done. Little League championships, punt, pass, and kick competition, Kevin, high school teams, Kevin, college.
Kevin, this isn't Little League or college.
No, I get it. I'm saying, but he has a history of winning. That's all I meant by that. I'm not comparing the NFL to Little League. I'm not. I'm just saying he has a history of winning.
The speed of this is different than anything he's done. Okay, instead of looking at, you know, his college success, his Little League success, punt, pass, and kick success, I want to look at the success the last 3 weeks. He's had, and this goes back to, again, he has not thrown an interception since the Steeler game when he had to come off the bench. So he hasn't thrown an interception yet as a starter in the stretch run. He has the one fumble.
He has two picks, I think, for the season, isn't it?
They were both in the Steeler game.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I think he only has two picks in the entire season since he's played.
Right. As I said, he hasn't had one since the Steeler game when he came in off the bench. So that's what I'm looking at as to where he is at this level. Peyton Manning was 3-13 his first year as the starter for the Colts. Okay? All right? So, you know, and he had... great success, Kevin, at every level.
He has.
Tennessee, high school, punt, pass, and kick. Punt, pass, and kick.
Little League.
Neighborhood flag football, Little League. You know,
he's a winner, darn it.
Backyard basketball. He went 3-13 his first year.
And he scored 20 a game.
Goodness gracious.
You know what? You know,
only you could take punt, pass, and kick at Little League and turn it into, I'm scared, he's a threat.
He's a winner. Actually, you know what concerns me more than McCarron? A.J. Green, because I don't think the Steelers secondary has anybody that can handle him. Period.
I thought they put Blake on him last time, right?
I don't know. I tried to close my eyes every time they threw it to him.
Oh, see, that's the advantage I have on you in this thing. I actually watched the game.
You actually saw it?
Yeah. My son calls me up last night and he says, you're kind of rough on Kevin at the end of the show today on practice.
How's that different than any other day?
I said, for goodness sakes, I said, he makes mountains out of molehills. I said, just, it's okay. It's all good. I mean, it reminds me of Kevin Bacon in Animal House. Everything's okay!
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Steve Jones along with Captain Panic.
Now that'll be tomorrow and plus 5 hours.
You're panicking. It's just it's so entertaining.
Do you know who the Steelers have to cover AJ Green?
Neither do I. That's what I'm worried about.
Oh, who do the Bengals have to cover Antonio Brown?
I don't care. I'm not a Bengals fan. Why do I care?
You're a Steeler fan. Don't you care who they have to cover him?
No. That's their problem. They can figure that out.
Okay. I have to admit, you're entertaining.
I'm glad I make you laugh.
Is it personalities or whatever that where I just kind of, it's okay, and you're like, and you pace back and forth, and
I just want to beat the Bengals.
Yeah, but you're not playing.
Okay. I just want to watch the Steelers beat the Bengals. How's that? Does that wording work better?
You're not playing.
You forget what it's like to be a fan.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm sure it's got its benefits.
There's a lot worse things in the world to worry about than how your team's going to do. So this is kind of a nice break, just worrying about your team from just reality.
Right, that's true.
Earthquakes in North Korea due to a potential nuclear bomb, or how your team's going to do on Sunday or Saturday. I'd rather worry about how my team's going to do on Saturday. Just saying.
I mean, you're going to sit there and you're going to ask me about, you know, what am I concerned about? I mean, poverty's one.
Yeah, I never ask you. I asked you that question once, and I learned that lesson. Never again.
I mean, unemployment rate came out today. I'm concerned about that.
Steve, what is exactly you're worried about? Well, I'm worried about world hunger right now. I get it. Reality. Sure, I get it. I'm not talking about that. Yeah, that's reality. That's another show. We're not talking about that.
We're going to have Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, on in just a few minutes. We're going to talk to Tony at 4:06, unless Kevin has a guest on we forgot about.
One time.
Well, at least it was a minor guest. It was a no big dealer.
Merrill was okay with it. He understood.
All right, this day in sports history. We'll start out with something that's right up, quote, your alley.
Okay. Is it bowling?
In 1901, Chicago, Illinois, the first tournament sanctioned by the American Bowling Congress was held.
I knew that was coming. I saw that today, Earl. I saw that today, too. I thought, you'll use that.
Well, it was a tribute to you.
Just remember, bowling gets kids out of the streets and in the alleys.
Don't forget, a little bit later, we'll have somebody on from the comedy club. 1955, after 130 home basketball wins, Georgia Tech beat Kentucky 59-58. First Kentucky loss at home since January 2nd, 1943. 1957, Jackie Robinson retired from Major League Baseball. He was traded to the Giants and said, no, I'm not going to play for the Giants. I'm done.
1960, the NCAA met in New York and voted against reviving the unlimited substitution rule for college football. 1977, the cover of TV Guide was the Super Bowl. 1984, ABC purchased the remaining 85% of ESPN. Michael Jordan became the 18th player in NBA history to reach 20,000 points in 1993. And in 1994, Dino Cicerelli of the Detroit Red Wings became the 19th player in NHL history to score 500 career goals. That is this day in sports history. There are other playoff games taking place tomorrow besides Steeler Fest 2016.
There are?
Ken Ben Roethlisberger won his first playoff game since the AFC Championship game 5 years ago.
I'm going with yes.
You don't sound that confident. I mean, after all, I mean, you got Ben Roethlisberger against the guy who won the punt, pass, and kick competition.
He was really good in that.
Only you could win. What?
You didn't know that, though, did you?
I didn't know it, and it has the relevancy of...
But you didn't know it.
Look, this is the National Football League, all right? We're not trying to beat Buzz from Virginia here as to how far we throw the ball.
Hey, have you been, like, 11 years old in the spotlight in the punt, pass, and kick competition? That's nerve-wracking.
Yeah, well, guess what? He's 25 now, and he's got Cameron Hayward coming at him full speed.
Yeah, nobody was coming to block that punt.
Make a play. Over and under, Vontaze Burfict makes it to halftime.
I would definitely take the no. I'd take the under. He is not going to make it to halftime. Matter of fact, he might not even make it to the national anthem.
You know, they're going to have to. The referee's going to have to be really careful about monitoring where, you know, what he does. He's the James Harrison of the new era.
Do you think that? Yeah, nice little shot at James Harrison. Thanks. Do you think that the NFL or the officials, at least for this game, are aware of the issues from the game from the previous time these two teams met?
No, I doubt the NFL's aware of it at all, Kevin. Zero. Even though Burfict got fined $77,000 from that game, I don't think they're aware of it at all.
That's interesting. Huh?
Hey, fined him $77,000. Of course they're aware of what he did.
No, that's not what I meant, and you know it. You're just twisting it for your own amusement.
No, they really have no clue. The $77,000 was because it was his turn to donate to charity.
What I meant was, and you knew what I meant.
Vontaze, we drew your name out of the hat, yo, a $77K to help out the Boys and Girls Club.
You are wound up today. Did you have a big birthday party last night or something?
No. Your concern about this is eminently entertaining.
Man.
800-795-9565, you'd like to jump in on the entertainment. I mean, jump in. This is great stuff listening to him panic. You don't know what to do.
Now, do you think the officials are, what I meant was, do you think the NFL have made the officials aware of what happened the last time these two teams met and said to them, don't let this happen, or don't let this escalate, or whatever? Or did they not say anything?
First of all, I'm sure they've talked about it, especially the pregame stuff, because that's where it started the last time, and since then it was the pregame stuff, where Burfict got involved, you know, and crossed over the 50-yard line, got in their face, and the whole deal.
Why was that not a fine, by the way?
What? He got fined for everything that day. He got fined $77,000.
But why was that not, like, when do the officials have control of the game?
The second they walk out there.
Okay. Now, let's assume the officials walked out there. When he went across the line and to the other side and started doing that, shouldn't have been a flag to start the game?
Yeah, it probably should have. They lost control that day.
Just asking questions.
Probably should have, but, you know, but the Steelers also retaliated, so it wasn't as if, you know, they all sat there like lambs.
Oh, yeah, and that would have been brilliant. Let's throw two flags to start the game and make it be unsportsmanlike conduct offsetting. Useless penalty, the most useless penalty in sports.
I'm just telling you. I mean, wasn't it
you're
the Steelers
right.
didn't retaliate?
You're
they
right.
Did. So, it's just... They're well aware of it.
I mean, those officials let that game get way out of hand on both
just
sides.
Remember the, just remember, the Steelers aren't from the organization Visiting Angels either. So
no, I said both sides. There's blame here on both sides. But the officials let that game get out of hand early. I would be surprised.
Now remember, these guys are here on merit. Hey, this is not a... This
I understand.
Not, here's your assignment this week. These are merit crews this weekend. You'll have merit crews next weekend. It'll be out of next weekend's crews that the Super Bowl crew will come out of.
But I would not be surprised if the first incident draws a very quick flag, maybe not an ejection, but a very quick flag and at least an unsportsmanlike conduct, if not offsetting. Because I don't think this crew is going to let it get out of hand like it did last time.
I can hear it right now. Personal foul, unsportsmanlike conduct, number 92
I
defense.
Knew that was coming, yep. You're such a hater.
He's one of the greatest of all time. Here, let's play back the highlights.
Kevin Green, Hall of Fame material, yes or no?
No.
I agree.
Nope. I also don't think Terrell Owens is either.
I agree with that too.
I think Kurt Warner is. I think Brett Favre is. Trying to think who else is on this ballot.
Yeah, that's what I was just looking at. I as much as I would like to say, and I liked Kevin Green, I enjoyed watching Kevin Green. I agree with you. I don't think he is.
I don't get it. I think it's a, you know. I
mean, here you go. Here's the list. Are you ready? Yeah. You give me a yes or no. Morton Anderson.
I have to think about that one, but I'd say initially no.
I would say yes, and I don't like putting kickers in, but he had such longevity in the sport and success that I think he deserves it.
He also missed the biggest kick of his life.
Yeah, I know, but, you know. Steve Atwater.
Really good safety, but no, I put John Lynch in before I put Steve Atwater in.
Air Coryell.
Isn't he under a separate category?
Well, I'm just looking through the list. The modern era finalist is what they what the selection committee has on this list.
Well, not yet, no.
Terrell Davis.
Well, I do like running backs that average 5.5 yards a carry and producing
there you go. Feel better.
And producing the Super Bowl.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm saying
so. Based on last year's entry, he should get in. Is that what you're going to tell me now?
Well, okay, I mean, let's be honest about it. All right, Bettis is great on longevity and durability. Bettis's numbers, like per carry and postseason, are not great.
I agree with that, really, especially postseason. They're very pedestrian.
His postseason yards per carry is exactly 3.9, which is exactly his regular season number. Now he's in. Davis is different. The problem with Davis is his career too short.
Yeah, it was only what, 6 years?
All right. So that's going to work against him.
How about Tony Dungy as a coach?
I don't know. He gets a lot of credit for what he did at Tampa Bay to set up their Super Bowl. He gets a lot of credit for the fact that the Colts won the Super Bowl. I don't know.
Coach is tough to put in the Hall of Fame, I think.
If I have one spot open, maybe, of my five, but no.
Alan Faneca.
Not this time.
I would agree with that. I mean, very talented guard, had really good feet. Yeah,
maybe later.
Three or four, I put Orlando Pace in before I put Alan Faneca in, because
well,
Pace
he's on the list.
Ballot a couple of years, and Pace has been on the ballot a couple of years. This is Faneca's first time.
Brett Favre.
Yes.
Yeah, that seems to be. And we already talked about Kevin Green. Marvin Harrison.
I would say yes to Marvin Harrison. I think there's a level of consistency. There's a level of consistency to how Marvin Harrison played his career that I think is very important.
Now, if you didn't like Alan Faneca right now, but like Orlando Pace, I would think Joe Jacoby would be in for you.
I was a big Joe Jacoby fan. I think Joe Jacoby was a great lineman for Washington.
I mean, 12 years yet? I mean, that's a long time to play a lineman position in football.
Plus, I said I'd vote him in.
No, I know. I'm just explaining what the thought of just 12 years alone. Edrin James.
Right. No.
Nope. John Lynch.
Yes.
I don't know about that one. I agree with you on Terrell Owens. I don't think Terrell Owens yet.
John Lynch was terrific in Tampa Bay and terrific in Denver.
Okay.
I think he had a really nice... I just thought he was a really good safety for a long time in his career.
Yeah, you said no to Terrell Owens.
No to Terrell Owens.
You said yes to Orlando Pace.
Yes, Orlando Pace absolutely should be in.
Kurt Warner.
Yes.
Yeah, see, I like that one, too. Senior finalist. Yeah. Kenny Stabler.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I mean, I think it's wrong that he's not in the Hall of Fame now. I realize that the magic run of the Snake was probably about five seasons worth, but I thought there were five really special seasons of great comebacks in the clutch, down the stretch, coolest head on the field, making plays. I've always felt Stabler was all... I mean, I know at the end, the Saints and the Oilers stuff, it was just bad. I know it was.
I forgot about the Oilers until I saw a highlight reel one time about it. I forgot about the Oilers.
In fact, he may have more interceptions than touchdown passes in his career.
I apologize if I pronounce this wrong, because I don't know this name, but Dick Stanfill?
Yeah, Dick Stanfill.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
On the senior one, I would pick Stabler over Dick Stanfill.
Okay.
I think he, Stanfill, I think, played for the 49ers, I think, I want to say, at one point in his career.
He was with the Lions and the Redskins. Lions from 52 to 55, and the Redskins from 56 to 58.
Right. Okay.
So... Did you? I wasn't counting along. Did you count five, or because that's all you can vote for?
Oh,
right
I don't.
Now is five, right?
I don't know.
All right.
Well, the senior ones are two extras.
Yeah, they don't count. They don't count.
So
in
they
the
don't
five.
Count to the five.
But I said, let's see. You said yes to
Warner, Favre, Pace, Lynch,
yep, and Harrison,
and all right, and Marvin Harrison. Those would be my five. Right. I put that in over Terrell Davis.
Now, does Terrell Davis and does
Davis? I don't think
Terrell
Davis
Owens,
will ever make it.
Yeah, does Davis and Owen? Do Davis and Owens make it?
I think Owens eventually makes it, but I don't think Davis does. All right. We will come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Kevin will break down the linebacking matchup against Tyler Eifert in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Tony in Shamokin brings perspective to the show. Tony in a car. How are you, Tony?
Oh, in a car on the way to Harrisburg.
There you go.
Yeah, it's foggy. Leo Nomolini and Jerry Kramer, are they in the Hall of Fame?
They are not, and they both should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't. Jerry Kramer's problem has always been they think there are too many Green Bay Packers, and I'm sorry, if you're great, you're great. It doesn't matter how many numbers you have.
And Leo Nomolini, what did he play, 14 years and never missed a game?
Never missed a game and was just consistent, steady his entire career.
Yeah, he was. I wonder how many people in our area know that the most valuable player for the San Francisco 49ers. Every year he receives the Len Eshmont Award. And Len Eshmont is from Atlas. He played football for Mount Carmel Township and played his college ball at Fordham.
How about that? How about that?
Asking, people don't remember that. You know, there are things that we're forgetting, and we're forgetting too many things today.
Well, but that's, you know what, but see, part of that is how long ago it happens to be. You and I could talk about great players from the 60s, and let's face it, Tony, if you and I were talking about great players from the 60s, for example, it would be like speaking a foreign language to kids.
Exactly, P.O.S., right?
Right. I mean, you know, LOL.
I don't. Hey, listen, you guys have a great day.
Have a great weekend, Tony. Be safe out there in the fog, all right? But, I mean, you know what? I was thinking about that the other day. You know, we talk about players back from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. There's an entire segment of the audience that's listening that, frankly, doesn't know what we're talking about.
Sadly, for me, the 70s are kind of vague because I was really young in the 70s to be able to know most of these guys.
Oh, I thought it was another reason. Okay. I'll bet if they were a Steeler, you'd know.
I know a few.
So in other words, you would not have, you never really saw Jack Ham play.
Not really, no, because I was probably 6 or 7 when he played, and if he did play, I really wasn't focused on what was going on.
Now, you do know you've left yourself wide open,
yep,
right?
I do.